When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to episode 301 of See You Next Wednesday, a weekly pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on Wednesday, February 1st, 2018, and my name is Dan Gorman. These fumes aren't as fun as beer. Sure, I'm all dizzy and nauseous, but where's the inflated sense of self-esteem?
My name is Casey Lyons, and look, I only have a few good years left. If I want a Chip Ahoy, I'm having it.
My name's Greg LeGros, and when an enemy sees me on his tail, I want him to feel the same way that you'd feel if a clown showed you his penis. Confused, unsettled, and most of all, very, very scared.
We have tons of stuff to talk about this week. We did a winner's choice in film roulette in our previous episode. So the two winners got to see whatever they wanted to see, while the loser watched a film called American Satan. We will roll for movies for next week.
We're kitty cats now. We watch movies.
Yes. And if you watch movies, you can email us at info@modernsuperior.com. You can go and rate and review us on iTunes. Yeah. Go to modernsuperior.com, click that Patreon button where you will be able to get into our Slack channel and enjoy our bonus content. Yeah. You'll want to do that this week. And find us on Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC on both platforms.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. As we mentioned, Patreon this week. Spoiler alert, you will want to be on there because we are doing an episode of Time Bandits, our Return old show. It's going to be great.
Yep.
So go and hit that up.
I guess, should we tell them what this stuff is?
Yes, yeah. So,
because it's 1993,
25 years ago. Right. If you didn't listen to Time Bandits, it was a podcast where we go back in time 25 years and talk about a movie and an album.
Yeah.
And it was a fun thing to do.
Yep.
I'm the stupidest man in the world.
Right.
Because I was like, I knew we were doing 93, but it never really registered. And then the other day I was like, wait a minute. We left off at like 1990.
Yeah.
1990. Yeah. As you used to say it. why aren't we doing 92? This doesn't make any sense. And I was like, oh, yeah.
25 years.
I was 25 years. I'm not a smart man.
Yeah. Mm. So we're doing a big one that for that year for a lot of children.
Yeah.
Super Mario Bros.
That's right.
A lot of disappointed children.
Yeah. And then a lot of excited alt-rockers because Breeders put out an album.
Yeah, Last Splash, their second
there's
album.
Also a Frank Black album that I think we'll talk about as well.
Frank Black. Sorry, man.
I can't talk today.
Are we going to do that? Are we talking about both? That's cool.
Well, I think we could bring it up a little.
We'll bring it up
it's
a
part
bit.
Of the
we're
conversation.
We're focusing on Last Splash.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So you want to throw in some money onto that Patreon to get that. And we're going to try and do that like once a month.
Or more.
Or more, whatever we feel like. Yeah.
Or never again.
Yeah.
Just
we'll
one
see how
time.
It goes.
Yeah.
So there you go. Movies that are coming up. New news. Itty bitty tidbit committee where we talk about things that are going on in the movie world and things we have been watching.
Newsies.
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
All right. Trailer time. Trailer corner.
So many trailers.
So many trailers. First off, let's get the comic book stuff.
Okay.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yes.
So trailer came out. Today, aka yesterday to the listeners.
Yes.
What did you guys think?
I thought it was fucking terrific.
So yeah. much fun.
It so much fun.
It looks fun.
I mean, it's a really well-made trailer.
Yeah.
The movie could suck or whatever, but yeah. all the music and everything, yeah. and it's like really comic booky.
No,
but
it's
like,
so it's in the best kind of way.
Yeah, yeah. super fun time comic-y.
And I really liked Ant-Man. I thought Ant-Man was terrific.
I watched it. I loved it in the theater.
Yeah.
And then I watched it again on Netflix, and I was like, eh.
Oh, see, I had the opposite. I saw it in the theater, and I was like, hey, that was a lot of fun. Then yeah. I watched it at home again, and I was like, ah, this movie's great. It's a really easy, like, fun watch. That's,
super
it's,
easy,
it's,
super fun.
As far as Marvel movies go, it's definitely up high on the rewatchability list, I would say.
I still haven't seen it.
Oh, what?
I gotta watch it. Yeah, I need to watch
that's
it.
Crazy.
What the fuck, dude?
I know.
And I was like, I definitely want to see more Ant-Man, and then his appearance in... Civil War
yeah. really good
was amazing
yeah. yeah
he and Spider-Man stole the whole movie and it was just so good he was like we're all waiting for Spider-Man to show up
yeah
and yet I kind of came out of that scene going Ant-Man
yeah yeah, yeah.
totally
Paul I'm happy that we live in a world where Paul Rudd is a superhero
totally
yeah
that's
yeah,
terrific
there needs to be more of that well yeah. I mean we're also in a world where Benedict Cumberbatch is a superhero so
yeah, fair enough
that's right. true
through the looking glass
yeah yeah but yeah, it's super fun. I love that it's Ant-Man and the Wasp, and that's just so great. It's set up so nicely. I like Evangeline Lilly a lot. It's about time that she's properly in a lead role in something. Since
I
the
was
whole
so
Lost,
shocked
blow
to
up.
See her like in this or like you know aligned with the whole Marvel thing.
Yeah,
so I was like, there are so many actresses of higher status or stature that you could have gotten for this, but what a great choice. Like
totally.
I was like, that's really great that the, yeah. and not just because she's Canadian.
Well, yeah. yeah, it's probably good that she sort of didn't just jump into a bunch of big motion pictures right after Lost.
Cause yeah, because she could have gotten
huge breakout star.
Lost.
and maybe Ben, I don't know, suffered the fate of many TV stars who try to jump to movies, but by waiting a little bit, I think, you know, and taking some clever small roles here and there, pretty good. So I'm very excited for her to be back. In
yeah.
Yeah,
Lost was a disappointing, heart-breaking experience, but she was terrific.
Yeah, and that stinger at the end of the trailer, oh, man, with the little Pez dispenser.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I want to see that so
anyway,
much.
So much. Yeah. I like that they're really having fun with
yeah.
the technology. Of
yeah, shrinking a building down.
Yeah, fucking A, man. Fucking do whatever you want. I don't yeah. give a fuck. I'm yeah. here to have a good time.
I'm excited. That looks really good.
For a good time.
And
you know that fucking song, Here for a Good Time, Not for a Long Time?
No, yes. I don't. Yeah. You mean the one I just sang?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No,
do you know
I
that song?
What are you
it wasn't actually
about?
A question.
are you aware of that song, or did you just make that phrase yeah. up and sing it exactly like the song?
Yeah. Right.
That fucking band, Trooper,
yeah.
still together.
Hot shots.
So that song is fucking bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, they're here for a very long time.
The longest time.
Yeah. And not that good a time
yeah.
either.
Yeah.
It really hasn't been very good.
We're asking them to leave by this point. So, more trailers. That was Ant-Man and the Wasp. Hereditary.
Yeah.
This is a horror film. It made waves at Sundance.
Mm.
People were saying, you know, this. I remember people were tweeting about it, and I think maybe some, like, small capsule reviews came out where all there was just a picture from the movie, and people were just saying, this movie's gonna fuck your shit up. This is yeah. like one of the scariest movies, you know, from the festival. This is gonna be the next big movie. And I didn't realize how quickly a trailer was gonna come out, because I was just thinking, like, what is this gonna be? Yeah. And then now we have a trailer.
Yeah.
And it looks
yeah.
so good.
It is fucking intense.
I don't yeah. want to oversell it, but it does look like the best movie of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it has a couple of music stings in it and a couple of sort of not thematic similarities, but visual similarities, I guess, that make me think, what if it's another Mother? Mother!
Yeah. I was almost thinking, because this is put out by A24, I was thinking, is this going to be... it comes at night, because that had like such an amazing trailer.
That trailer was...
unreal.
Good.
And yeah. I like the movie, but I was disappointed with it.
Sure.
And so I'm like, oh man, please be as good as this trailer.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a fan of horror movies, you should check
Reason
out the trailer.
To be excited. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks great. Hereditary.
Tell you what, I'm a fan of
what?
Horror movies, but also science fiction films.
Yes.
And Bleak Futures.
I know.
Yeah. There's that trailer for a Netflix film, Mute.
Yes, from Duncan Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Previously of Moon.
Amazing.
Source Code.
Very good.
Warcraft. Didn't see it, personally.
My favorite thing about...
I saw Warcraft.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it.
You loved it.
But I loved it. I don't have any, like... I didn't lose any faith in him as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
Just the whole thing was like, I don't want any of this.
Yeah.
There was no way for it to be good.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't like nothing here. It was made for like specific fans of the movie instead of the movie of the game instead of the movie going audience.
I don't think so, because my favorite thing about that Warcraft movie is a clip of an interview that I saw where the interviewer is just a petulant asshole to Duncan Jones the whole time. Have you seen
this? No, I don't think so.
He's like this British fucking nerd who just berates Duncan Jones the whole time about how could he do this? How could he take Warcraft, something so pure, and turn it into such populist bullcrap?
Oh, my God.
He doesn't say those words exactly.
Right.
But he just goes off, and he's such a dick about it. And the whole time, Duncan Jones is kind of laughing. Like, he's uncomfortable, but he's like, well, you know.
I did what I wanted to.
Made a movie.
Yeah. That's funny.
It's so wonderful. Cause
it's
like,
big, dumb orc things.
Yeah.
What do you want from me?
Barbarian fellas, you know.
Literally, I am
shit
quite...
real.
Yeah. Anybody who was going to direct this movie was clearly cashing a paycheck.
Yeah.
What did you think was going to happen?
And with that being said,
yeah,
it is a little better than that. I just wasn't interested in it.
Yeah.
Like, no,
I couldn't get interested in it, but it's done clearly with some care and with some skill. The effects are pretty darn good.
Yeah.
So it's not like a who gives a fuck, we're going to just throw this thing together garbage.
Or like a career derailment of...
No. Yeah. It was made with care because he's a quality filmmaker.
Yeah.
Anyway, he made this new movie called Mute.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is going to Netflix.
Yeah.
Totally.
And boy, do I like this trailer.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, hell of a cast. It's basically about a bartender who can't speak after an accident that he had in his childhood, and now we are in this, like... dystopian Blade Runner-esque future, and he's trying to find his ex-girlfriend. I believe Paul Rudd is trying to help him do this.
Yeah.
And looks very
space, neon and stuff.
Neon and
things don't seem so good in the future.
Yeah.
And I'm in.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It looks cool.
It does look cool.
Definitely.
It looks like it's got its own little vibe going. It's not just like a Blade Runner clone, which, whatever, I'm fine with those.
Yeah.
Me but, too. It looks like it has its own kind of, I don't know, neato vibe going on. And,
yeah.
Yeah, anyway, I was definitely hooked. I'm watching this. Can't wait.
Yeah, and I'm excited because I read this quote from Duncan where he was saying, you know, after Warcraft, you know, it was interesting to hear out Netflix, you know, this like new company on the block in terms of like these kinds of productions of,
right.
You know, they just did Bright and these kind of bigger productions that they're doing. And he basically said that they weren't interested in him producing any kind of like they didn't tell him what kind of movie to make. Right. I'm sure that they didn't tell David Wayne what kind of shows to make when he was making those, or his movies, or other people that produced for this platform. So he was basically like, they weren't telling me to make a homogenized thing. They were just saying, here's how much we'll give you to do your vision.
Yeah.
So go do it. And that, like, if this is going to be a bit more to, like, this is what he wanted to make, you know, artistically, I'm excited about that.
You know, and maybe this is, well, if this works out, because obviously Bright worked, it got terrible reviews,
but people watched
the fuck out of it, and that's what Netflix wanted. And viewers enjoyed it for the most part.
Yeah.
It's like just a big Hollywood whatever. I didn't have to go out and there it is. And
yeah.
So they liked it.
Same with all the Adam Sandler bull crap.
Sure.
Yeah,
it's
the
most watched shit
on
Netflix.
So whatever. That stuff's kind of a little like lacking in quality. But something. Maybe this is a way for there to be properly budgeted and cast science fiction films.
Yeah.
Because there's such a gamble for the theater, right?
Yeah.
And it can kill a genre, you know?
Totally. Even
they pulled away from... this happens every once in a while. We'll get an influx of science fiction films. We're going to try really hard and make them really big, and then nobody went because it's too weird, and now we're not going to make them anymore.
Yeah.
And maybe this is... Maybe this is the home. And
totally.
Maybe that's, you know...
I can see that.
Entertainment's changing, and our platforms are changing. If this turns out to be a thing where they're not worried so much about...
a director expressing his vision or her vision in a, you know, crazy science fiction movie that's all about metaphors and fucked up stuff, then amazing. Then totally. I couldn't be happier if we get a more freedom for that kind of storytelling.
Yeah, and if you end up watching, like I did, that horror movie, The Open House, you know, that was first time filmmakers. I think maybe they had done like a short or something, but like, cool anyway to see that they got to make their movie, and I really thought it was crap, but like, interesting. But like, you know what I mean? Like, they got the opportunity to make like a mid.
Way to go, you shitty filmmakers!
That'd be right on the poster.
Like, where other than Blumhouse, where are like mid level to lower mid level budget horror movies or genre movies, you know, being made? Mm-hmm. Not really anywhere.
Yeah.
Just like Blumhouse and maybe a couple like companies that are doing some production or picking up those kinds of movies. But it's like, I didn't mean it like that. I just mean like,
no, but it's good.
You're going to get some fucking brilliant movies, and then you're going to get some
like
people
the 80s boom of we have to fill the shelves with stuff.
Yeah.
And yes, most of it is unwatchable dog shit, but there's a bunch of in this wild creativity where it was just the Wild West of do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
We have this poster.
Yeah.
Put something behind the poster, please. If we can get some of that kind of energy going in, which it feels like we are, and Netflix is just like, they're trying stuff, and they seem to be letting the creative people have their own little stab at it right now.
Yeah.
So until this all goes fucked up, for a while, we might get a really strong influx of weird shit, which would be fucking great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm interested in it.
Good.
I don't understand this idea that, like, oh, they're like killing film, or like you're not seeing it on the, like, I understand the idea of like, it's different on the big screen. You see
it
a move like Mute. If you saw Mute on the big screen, like, that's going to be a fucking different experience.
Sure.
But at the same time, I'm like, but if my choice is only see movies in theaters and a movie like Mute doesn't get made.
Exactly.
Or watch it at
and
home.
If it's fucking amazing and we all like it a lot, I'm sure they'll do a special engagement with screenings and we can all go.
Yeah.
And make a, you know, make going to the theater special. And because it is. I would never want the theater to go away. I will be devastated if that ever happens.
Totally.
But there is, there has to be allowance for other ways to do it too.
Yeah.
And it is weird. Like, Bright doesn't quite feel like a real movie, but it is. I don't know. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Well, also because it's still a weird, dumb idea.
Yeah. Totally.
By a weird, dumb director.
Written by an a-hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Written by a fucking scumbag.
Yeah. Apparently, Mute was the movie he tried to make before anything else. Before Moon.
Oh, really?
He called it his Don Quixote, like... what's his name? The Monty Python director,
Terry Gilliam,
was trying to do the Don Quixote movie for years and years, and sandstorms and shit.
Right.
He was like, yeah, we would like try and make it, and then, you know, it wouldn't happen. So finally, now that I've made these other movies, I was able to go to Netflix and make it.
Fucking
so
hey,
it is
man.
Kind of like the perfect encapsulation of, I couldn't get this done any other way, and then now I got it done. So interesting.
Wicked.
Yeah. What else?
Speaking of which, isn't Terry Gilliam making his Don Quixote?
I think he is finally. I don't know.
For it again?
But I don't know why you would do it. John Hurt is dead.
No.
How are you going to make that without John Hurt?
Yeah.
No.
Johnny Depp?
Fuck you.
Yeah. Speaking of making movies.
Yeah.
The fourth Cloverfield film.
Oh, yeah.
Already done.
Already made.
Already made it.
Okay.
Apparently it's set during World War II.
Wait, fourth?
Yes.
Fourth?
Where's the third one?
It's coming.
Apparently it's coming.
That's done
this
too?
Year.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, shit.
But the fourth one may be a Netflix feature.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Isn't it set during WW2?
Yes, the fourth one.
Yeah.
So
I heard Dan just say that. That's how I know that.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
The third one is in space.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
In space. Great. No one can hear you, Cloverfield.
Yeah. So that's cool. Like, just go make your movies. Don't tell us about it until
fucking
later.
Man.
Yeah. Like, that's... I kind of like this. I'm starting to like this series in a lot of ways. Like, that it's just a bunch of disparate things.
Yeah. So the third installment, called God Particle, coming out April 20th. And then apparently the fourth chapter is already finished. So,
nice.
Yeah. There you go.
And there you go.
Yeah. And apparently the fourth one is called Overlord, and takes place on the eve of D-Day when American paratroopers come across supernatural forces that are the result of Nazi experiments.
Overlord.
Yeah. So... Yeah, I loved the last one, so yep. I'm down for more of these.
Yes,
like,
please.
Yeah,
neato.
Just make a bunch of different.
90% of the last one was great.
100% of the last one was wonderful.
Agree.
Two against one.
Mm-hmm. Super good.
Oh, man. You guys invalidated my opinion.
Yeah, that's right.
In your face. No. Speaking of your opinion, what have you been watching?
Wait.
What else?
One more piece of news.
One more news?
I'm just so excited about it.
Okay.
The first screenings of Black Panther happened.
Yes.
And everyone is losing their
fucking
minds.
Press screenings of Black Panther.
Yeah. People are going.
Apparently it's amazing.
Yeah, like amazing.
And that, honestly, that kind
of. Not just like neat action movie amazing. Yeah. Like. Quality film, top to bottom, performances, writing,
apparently
messages.
It's crazy. I keep forgetting that, like, with all of everything around, like, Chadwick Boseman's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You got Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
Isn't Lupita Nyong'o in
this?
Yes,
she is.
Like, fucking crazy stacked cast. I keep forgetting it's fucking Ryan Coogler movie.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, there's so much about this movie to be excited about.
Yeah, man. And it's, you know, we're supposed to have the superhero movie backlash where people don't want these anymore. That keeps supposed to be coming, right?
Well, I've been saying for a year.
Yeah. But the thing is, the numbers would say otherwise. People are still going. But also, Marvel anyway, not DC, they're just now getting even better at making them. So.
Yeah.
This next chapter of, phase whatever we're in now.
Five or four.
Whatever you like. Is just so exciting. There's so much coming because we're kind of done with the Avengers as we know them almost. And then it's going to be this much more open, interesting world.
And
I don't know. It's a very exciting time.
The movies are becoming slightly more, like, in tone anyway. A little more auteured. Like, spoiler alert, I finally saw Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, sweet.
Which was very Taika Waititi.
Let's move into what we've been watching. So you just saw that, I assume.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want to talk too much about it. I fell asleep a lot of times during it.
Oh, that's true.
It's fucking great.
Oh, yeah.
And Mayo said it's her absolute favorite Marvel movie.
Not wrong at all.
She said it's absolutely her favorite.
It's so good.
Like,
so fun.
I really look forward to seeing the parts I missed.
Yeah.
I loved what I saw.
Yeah.
And
really feels like him, and the James Guardians of the Galaxy movies feel like James Gunn.
Yeah, and even if like watching the Ant-Man and the Wasp trailer after hearing things about the Black Panther, where people were saying like it looks completely unlike anything that you've seen in Marvel. Like, it doesn't even look or feel like the same kind of thing.
Yeah,
and that made me not disappointed with that trailer, but I was like, oh, but there's like. Even they're just kind of still making the ones that feel like the Marvel movies, but then are inching towards something neat with the making things bigger and smaller, and even like Doctor Strange, which still felt a piece in it, but was kind of like a step towards the psychedelic stuff.
Totally.
And again, with that,
a little
it's
more
like
fun.
Yeah, we've been working towards it, and they're still going to make the ones that are just kind of fun popcorn. But then there's these other ones that are going to be something even better, even deeper, even more important.
Yeah.
Say have something to say.
Yeah, I'm so stoked for Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think it's all up. They need to get away from the Civil War-ness of it all. Because, a case can be made for that movie. It does not bear repeat watching.
It's got scenes in it that I like, but it doesn't hang together.
It's way too much clunky. I don't care about any of this. I don't care about the Winter Soldier or where he came from. It's too much of that nonsense, then a big fight scene that is inconsequential.
But it as like a stepping stone into where we're gonna get into, I guess important for the Marvel
as like being one of their low point movies. That's still
not
all right.
bad. Yeah,
yeah. I still had a really good time
really
with the movies.
Good very good.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Yeah,
about that. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
All right. So you watched Thor.
I know.
And you'll watch it again. Greg, what about you?
I watched Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh, did you?
Oh, my goodness.
I heard it was not bad.
I heard it was very boring.
I was curious.
Yeah.
And just like, whatever.
I'm curious.
Yeah. Just throw something on here.
I was thinking
of watching
it.
Watched it together. And I like Kenneth Branagh.
Me too.
Yeah. He can make quality motion pictures.
It seems like he'd be fun as your...
Yeah. I'm a Branagh fan for sure.
I watched it, and he is good in it. And there's some interesting shots and stuff, and it kind of has this weird little energy to it. Johnny Depp's like mostly like a person in it. So like, I was like, oh, look at him not doing like he's doing an accent, but it's like one that fits the tone. And
right. Yeah.
So it's and it's much toned down from his other stuff. So I was like, oh, well, he's not annoying in this. That's great.
He's not playing Mordecai.
Huh? No. They give the crazy mustache to Bran. I was like, I get the mustache.
Hey, yeah. Give me that.
Stop
Mordecai.
Being an asshole. Just be a person. But yeah, it is very
You'll
boring.
You'll get your mustache back when you deserve it.
Yeah, it's just if I didn't make a note on my phone that I watched it,
you'd
gone.
Forget it.
I don't. Yeah. It's very boring. It's not very boring. It's not. That's not true. Because we're watching it and we're like, it's fine.
Yeah,
and that's just what it is the whole time. Yeah. And then we get your big, solve the mystery reveal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it just, I was just like, okay, I'm just waiting to be done here so I can say I saw it and that's that.
Yeah.
And so the direction just doesn't have enough lift. Like, it doesn't get enough into a character-y world, which it almost is, but it also then isn't rooted enough in, like, a real mystery.
Yeah.
Where you see the clues unravel and, like, the facade falls away, right? Like,
yeah.
It's just kind of, I took Zoe to her swimming lesson and came home and we had a little time together and I let her just choose something to watch. Just
yeah.
She sees a thumbnail and points at a thing. And so she pointed at Scooby-Doo meets Batman Brave and the Bold. So we watched that.
Sweet.
Yeah.
What's the last part of that?
There's a Batman series called Brave and the Bold and it's like a little bit more kiddie.
Oh.
Batman. It's not like in a series, which is kind of dark, right?
Yeah.
And Dietrich Bader is the voice of Batman.
Oh, cool.
And also there's a character called The Question, mm-hmm. and he is voiced by Jeffrey Combs.
Oh, cool.
Sweet.
Neat that he's getting
nice
into the
see he's working.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway, so it's Scooby-Doo and Batman, and they get to solve a mystery. The reveal in Scooby-Doo meets Batman Brave and the Bold, ta-da, here's what... was more suspenseful and like, oh, than Murder on the Orient Express was.
Well, because nice. That's the one, like, it's one of those, like, back when it was written, it probably was like, ooh, but now it's one of those, she was dead for 30 years.
No, I don't think that's the problem, because I've not seen one of the other versions of this film.
I've never read the book.
So
oh, you've never
I didn't
seen,
know what
oh,
was
I
going
see.
To happen.
But you don't, but I mean, it's pretty like, okay.
It's interesting. It isn't like when I think about it after, I'm like, that's kind of cool. But it wasn't the impact of it.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't surprised
so
at the
know.
End of Scooby-Doo and Batman.
Right.
But I was like, the way they unveiled it, it was a little bit more like, oh, yeah.
And you're saying
all right.
It doesn't turn out on Murder or the Orient Express. It wasn't Scooby-Doo.
No, it wasn't Scooby-Doo or any meddling kids.
I'd watch that.
It just doesn't have dynamics. Like, it just sits at one pace and one pitch the whole time. And so when you get to your climax, the only reason that you know it's the end is because you've been watching for an hour and a half. You know, like, it doesn't have any, like, you don't feel a heightened thing going on, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not really worth anyone's time.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, Murder on the Orient Express.
Mm-hmm.
Not worth your time.
No.
Question for you, Greg.
What?
Did you fight some sticks?
Oh, I spent about 25 minutes fighting sticks. Yeah. I need to finish fighting sticks.
Stick Fighter is a movie I watched,
yes.
I don't want to talk about it.
No, because first 5 minutes...
Yeah.
Fascinating. Alarmingly good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Stick
Holy
Fighter,
fuck.
Check it out on YouTube.
Yes.
And we'll talk about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
I
when
fell
you
asleep
first said
and then...
the title of it, I thought it was about a guy who fought with sticks.
It's kind of about that. He doesn't really fight with a lot of sticks.
No,
sometimes
no.
he does.
He does a lot of throat kicking.
Yeah. So there's that going for it.
There is that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched a movie this weekend that I will bring up briefly. It is a children's film from the Philippines.
Oh, yeah.
Called Stone Boy, a.k.a. The Boy God, from 1982, as I mentioned. So this was a movie that got on my radar just because there was a trailer on YouTube that people were sharing around, and it just looked bananas. And it has this little kid who is apparently, like, indestructible He's not made of stone, but like there's references that like he has indestructible skin, and he like curls up into a little ball and rolls around and fights like werewolves and stuff.
Wow.
And like a bargain basement Wonder Woman shows up. It's like, I'm here now. And it was wild. It was really bad. But it was the kind of like, you know, when you would watch like Godzilla versus Megalon, the one that had the little kid, and like Jet Jaguar, and he had his little scooter.
Yes. Yep.
Like it had that kind of it had that kind of like, what's going on here?
Hilarious.
I love that movie.
It's so good.
Every scene in Stone Boy was like a new movie.
Great.
It was like it was weird though, because it's like a kid's movie and it opens with a sexual assault from a ghostly specter.
Oh god.
And
what the
like,
fuck.
And that's I guess how the Stone Boy was made.
Holy shit.
The origin story of the Stone Boy is a woman wakes up and a weird little like nobody's standing there, and then like, you know how back in the day they would have those little drawn on like thing special effects. It would be like, but a guy was standing there in little sparkles, and then all of a sudden that's happening and she's not Jesus. Into it, and you're like, this is for kids?
Yeah, for kids. Oh, yeah, because it's one thing if it's, you know, Extro.
Yeah.
Or The Beast
and it's,
Within.
It's
but...
not like an explicit scene, but you're like, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
And there's a character of the movie of a grandma, and at the end of the movie, like, because there's all this stuff with like, you know, these people that are on another plane of dimension or something, and that's what he is, and now the like everybody die, a bunch of people die, and now they're on that plane of existence with that guy from the beginning of the movie. And so at the end of the movie, the mother and the guy that did that at the beginning of the movie show up and are like, Stone Boy, you are the chosen one or whatever, and the grandma's like, get him, he's a rapist. And I was like, she's the only one in this movie that is upset about that, rightfully so.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Wow.
There's these werewolf ladies that are like going to cook the kid, and they're like brushing his body like to make it all glistening before they cook it, and you're like, this is a kid.
Jesus.
Yeah.
A children's movie.
It's wild. It's okay. One of those, like, if you have a group of friends to watch it, it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
But I could also imagine watching it and being like, what? I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's
great.
It's an interesting picture. The Stone Boy, a.k.a. The Boy God from 1982.
Hmm.
Yeah. If you like those weird movies like that, it's worth a gander.
All right.
Yeah.
Great.
What else from you guys?
Okay.
Well, I'll just run real, real quick through a bunch. I did a bunch of catch up.
Yeah.
I was homesick for a while. So I caught Blade Runner 2049, which I hadn't seen.
Yeah.
And that's good. It's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's a good movie.
Yes.
Much like the original, it does not focus as much on plot as another movie. Now, I feel like it has a more cohesive plot than the first Blade Runner movie, or at least a more like A to B kind of a plot. Not even that. I don't know. It's a good movie. I don't think I'll watch it again, but it's a good movie.
Yeah.
I saw Lady Bird.
Nice. Huh?
That's a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw Three Billboards in Ebbing.
Yep.
The Over There in Ebbing movie.
Yep.
That's a good movie.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Saw those. so that's those ones.
Yeah.
But I will talk about a movie that I saw that I hope you guys saw as well.
I think if it's what I think you are going to talk about, you should wait.
Oh. Then I won't talk about that.
Yeah.
Because I think somebody's probably going to talk about it in film. So I won't talk about that. I did watch another movie, however.
Okay.
Are you talking about some kind of streaming services original film?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I'll readjust my order of things I'm talking about.
Right. But I will talk about another one of those streaming service type of movies. I watched a movie called Mudbound.
Oh, sweet.
Cool. What's up with that? Tell me about it.
Well, I watched it because it is sort of tangential. Well, not tangentially, actually. It's up for 2 Oscars.
Yeah.
One of which is like best adapted screenplay because it is based on a book. And then best supporting actress, Mary J. Blige.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who is in this movie.
Nice.
Yes.
Yes.
This movie is fucking great.
Nice.
Like, it is a great movie from a director who basically, she made a couple of shorts. One of those shorts she made into a feature length. And then from that, she got this.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it is such a strong, like, because, you know, you make your sort of first feature length kind of thing with not a lot of people in it or whatever. Mm. But, like, this is really kind of her first sort of big shot. And it is such a strong and confident movie. This, when we were talking about Netflix movies, you know, not being shown on the big screen, this movie really could have benefited from being seen on the big screen.
Yeah.
I will say that. It's very beautifully shot. It's really, really wonderfully told. It almost rushes through itself, though. Through itself? What? I almost feel like it could have been a three-hour movie that like, languished a little bit more.
Yeah.
But that's a dumb thing to say, because the movie that it is such a fucking great movie to watch. Yeah,
nothing wrong with being left wanting more.
One thing that I am 100% mystified about is how was Mary J. Blige nominated? Not that she's bad at all. She just has nothing to do. Like, absolutely nothing to do. It's like, I'm sitting there watching her performance and trying to figure out what she's doing that's any different than anybody else who's sort of standing around filling out the movie, when there's so many other performances. Like, Garrett Hedlund is fucking great in this movie. Jonathan Banks is just a fucking asshole in this movie. Now, I don't even like, I don't care for not liking Mike Ehrmantraut, but oh man, he's fucking just a piece of shit in this movie. He's really great. The main guy, damn it, I'm going to look it up. You guys talk about something while I look his name up.
Talk about the movie you watched?
Yeah. Why don't you tell me what you thought about me watching that movie?
Well, I do think that this movie is in an odd place, because it has been talked about enough that people have heard of it. Like, my parents were like, oh, I heard about that Mudbound movie. Like, it's supposed to be good. We should watch it.
Yeah.
But they didn't really know, like, why or what it is.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, man.
And I feel like it's just enough in the conversation.
I don't know anything about it. I don't know what it's about.
Yeah, but, like... But it deserves more from the sounds of it.
I just know that it's supposed to be very good.
Yeah.
It is. It's basically just about the South, not South America, the South in America at the end of and just after the war.
Mm-hmm.
And
So this has nothing to do with the band Puddle of Mud.
Oh, no, they're in it.
Okay. I thought it was a bunch of people on the way to a Puddle of Mud concert.
Mud-bound.
Puddle of Mud.
Well, everybody else is in post-war South, but Puddle of Mud is there.
Yeah, interesting.
And they are playing a concert. They're modern day, though, which is weird. It's a little anachronistic.
It's a bit of a choice.
But it's very watchable.
They are a good band.
I don't even know if that's them, but I bet that's a sound they make. Jason Mitchell. He is in it. He you may remember him as Eazy-E in Straight Outta Compton.
Yes.
Oh.
He is fucking great in this movie.
Right on.
But yeah, so just mystified that Mary J. Blige, again, fine, just fine.
Yeah.
But there's other, like Carey Mulligan, again, another fucking fine performance in this movie. But definitely check it out. Dee Reese is the director, and I'm really excited to see what she does next.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll watch that. Looking definitely. Cool.
Yeah.
Greg, what else?
I'll give you a little twofer of catchy uppies.
Okay.
That I did some. I don't know if Casey's seen either of these movies, but I know Dan has seen both.
Okay.
So real quick likes. I saw The Florida Project.
Nice.
I was gonna see that, and then I didn't.
Nice.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Movie.
So I loved it.
Unique. And I liked it a lot more than Tangerine, because I didn't really connect with Tangerine. I thought this was spectacular.
Yeah.
The performances are unbelievably
so good. The kid is amazing.
The kid, all the kids are amazing, but the kid, Mooney, is spectacular.
Yeah.
Willem Dafoe is wonderful in it.
So good.
And I don't know the actress's name who plays the mom.
Yeah, she's great.
Extremely good.
I keep seeing Willem Dafoe on like Seth Meyers and various places, and he keeps talking about how that lady was found
on Instagram.
From Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't even understand how that is
possible.
No,
I don't either. And she's remarkably natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of a thing that the director does, right? Like, he likes casting people that are just people. He did that a lot in Tangerine as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, unknowns or people that are had similar experiences as the movie's topic or whatever.
Sure.
So it kind of... But I mean, when people do that a lot in movies, that usually means, like, you get some, like... really interesting performances or like good performances for people that didn't act before.
Right,
but in his
right.
movies, it's so far it's been like, oh, all these people you're finding on street corners are amazing.
Amazing actors, yeah. And it was a really interesting time watching it. I lived in Orlando, Florida briefly when I was 10. Not that I lived in any of this sort of situation there, but I did live in, not that I lived in like a hotel, but I lived in some like affordable income housing in Wisconsin, where I spent all of my time running around unsupervised with my friends doing all kinds of illegal, horrible things.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, nothing like as bad as it gets. I wasn't a hellion or something like, you know, some of the stuff you see in this
burning
motion picture. But I did burn down a garage.
I burned stuff.
It was
an accident,
though, but I did do it. And, you know, it just resonated with my growing up poor in America time from, you know, up until age 10. And it was, you know, and then living in Orlando, Florida for a little while. And it is such a bizarre thing that you have Disney sitting right next to all of this absolute chaos.
And you have like these, you know, helicopter tours flying right in your face.
Yeah, remarkable.
I loved it.
I thought about it all day afterwards. Yeah. It really stays with you.
Yeah.
And that little kid is
so good.
So good.
And I mentioned when I reviewed it on the show, like, there's a very jarring moment right at the end of the movie that kind of, there's a scene that is just so emotionally, you know, intense right at the end with the child actor. And it really gets juxtaposed very harshly with something, not like a harsh juxtaposition, in that the change is very intense right in the final thing. And in the moment, I wasn't sure about it, but the more I thought about the movie, the more I was like loving the ending.
Yeah, it was spectacular.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely one of the best things I've seen this year. Can't wait to see what he does next as a filmmaker.
I hope Casey watches it and we can talk about it a little bit more, because I want to get into some specifics about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so I'll just jump over to another thing I saw that I know you saw that we were going to talk about a while ago, then we didn't, and that is The Killing of a Sacred Deer, which is another unconventional film.
Yeah. We were going to watch that too.
Yeah.
I suggested it, but Maus was not in the mood for a weird movie at that
And
time,
man,
so
it's a weird movie.
We watched Thor Ragnarok instead.
Yeah.
Good choice.
So, weird movie from weird movie maker, Yorgo Lanthimos.
Yeah.
Of
Lobster previously.
Of Lobster, and Dogtooth, Greek filmmaker. He's really got a thing he's going for.
Yeah.
And he's got a voice, and it is peculiar.
Yeah.
I loved Lobster. I thought it was really interesting, and I liked that it felt so bizarre. And he and Colin Farrell are just like, I get you, man.
Yeah.
Let's do this thing together.
Yeah.
This like feels like it's very much in the world of the Lobster or the tone. But
Lobster
this is
world.
This is a nightmare of a movie. Not in like it's a mess. I mean, like it is a fucked up nightmare.
Yeah.
And it's dark, and insanely pitch black comedy.
I know. And I wanted to ask you, because for viewers that maybe have children, I was interested on how this would come off, because there are moments in this movie, and I heard that it was a pitch black comedy before I saw it.
Yeah.
And for a brief like stretch of the film, I'm like, when is this going to be funny?
Yeah.
But then there are times where you're like, that was funny.
That's genuinely funny. And also, it's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And he lulls you into his dream world of this fucked up thing going on that you don't even notice how fucked up a couple of things are until you think about them later. Like, there's a few things that happened in this movie that if they happened in a normally toned or paced film, you'd be like, what the but because Colin Farrell just gets how to do this guy's thing, like, he slides these insane things under the table at you. Like, Colin Farrell tries to find out if his son's telling a lie at one point and tells him a story.
Yeah.
That's fucking insane.
That part is nuts. And you're listening to this story going like, what the fuck is he saying to his child?
It's crazy. And the climax of this movie is one of the most chaotic, bonkers
shocking
things I have ever seen in a movie.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, and you and it like shocking and dark and fucked up, but then you're also like laughing that you can't believe this is happening because you're so awkward about
a movie.
Yeah.
This is what's happening.
There's
here.
A scene in this movie, and I won't reveal it too specifically, but so that Greg knows, there's a scene where like the two children are talking about like an MP3 player that was brought up earlier, kind of a decision. They're kind of talking about a decision someone else is going to have to make, and something about the MP3 player that is just so like perfectly executed and hilarious, but so fucked up that these two kids are talking about that.
Yeah, the bizarre calm of everyone.
Yeah.
This is a.
It's not for everybody.
This is not for everyone.
Because I told my brother how much I loved it, and he was very not into. He liked The Lobster a lot.
Yeah,
but he was very not into that. Like I find this movie doubles down even on that monotone kind of
100%.
Just like
it really
we're
does.
Talking about a watch, and we're not going to talk about what we're talking about. We're just going to do this really long take of us discussing a watch, which ends up being very important to what the movie is talking about.
Totally,
but. Yeah, like, if you're not on the wavelength, it's like, no.
Yeah.
But I was on the wavelength the whole movie.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that kid, Barry Keoghan.
Yeah.
Who is also in 71.
Mm-hmm.
He's also in Dunkirk.
Yes, I knew him from Dunkirk.
Boy,
yeah.
Oh boy, is he a good actor.
Yeah, yeah. And done so many different things.
Yeah,
and
remarkably
then here is
different.
Totally, yeah.
He is, and there was a point too where I was like, is this too monotone and weird for me? But he's what anchored me, and I came around, like I stayed with it because of what I was just captivated by his performance.
Yeah.
He's really, really interesting.
And there will probably be people that watch it and be like, if anyone found anything in this movie funny, they're fucking, nightmare people. But, like, it's totally pitched at a certain level. Yeah. There's things that happen that are so darkly comic in such a weird way.
Yeah. Yorgo Lanthimos is definitely somebody I want more from.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I really liked it.
Yep.
It's so fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to get an Oculus, Gregulus, Caseyless, Danielus here.
Yes.
Casey will have to watch it.
Yeah.
But be in the mood for a weird one.
Yeah.
Is it the killing of a sacred Dan? Or the gregging of a sacred deer?
Yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah, we will.
Any other watches before Film Roulette?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? I watched one movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was home. I got home sick, and I was like, "Yay! I get some time to myself." The kids were still at daycare. I was like, oh, "I get to lie in a bed all by myself. Nobody's barfing on me. Nobody's peeing on
me. Nice.
I could just curl up in
barf
my bed
and pee on myself.
Yeah, and I did.
And then,
I was like, and just watch a movie all to myself, just me time. Mm-hmm. I love being sick." Mm-hmm. I was so excited, and I watched a movie for which the trailer very much excited me.
I know.
By
saying,
the
yeah.
same director as Crank and Crank 2.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes. I watched the movie Mom and Dad.
Yes.
I've been
meaning to watch
a
good trailer
this,
for this.
Yes. Mm. This is, if you don't know, a movie about a strange phenomenon that makes parents turn on their children and try to kill them.
Yeah. Interesting movie segues.
Yes. So that's what's going on in this movie. And, did I hate this movie.
I've seen a lot
Boy,
of divisive
did I hate
stuff.
This fucking movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen, like, a lot of people, like, digging it, and then just a lot of people saying, fuck off.
Oh, God, it sucks so bad, and it thinks it's so fucking smart, and it's all up in your face, and it's like, I'm making fucking points, and there's parallels here that you're not getting.
No, man.
Fuckhead, I get it. sometimes being a parent is tough, and then sometimes, your life doesn't turn out like you thought you would, and your life becomes all about your kids.
Would
and
you say
lose
that being
your
a
identity as a self
could be murder?
Watching this movie makes you want to fucking murder yourself. It's so dumb and so shitty until Lance Henriksen shows up, and he is awesome.
You've got me back.
Yeah.
How Crank-esque is the... Like, I watched the trailer and I said to myself, this might make me barf if I see it in theaters. Mm-hmm. Is it shaky in your face?
Oh, very. Okay. Very. And now, like, you know, as a parent, it really is hard to see children killed in a movie kind mm-hmm. of thing. Mm-hmm. But they really shoot around that type of... Like, I mean, it's in the movie.
That's what the movie's about.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So they couldn't get away with... But they really shoot around it in a way that makes you kind of feel like, what is the point?
Right.
What's the point of making this movie if you're going to, like, tastefully try to shoot children being murdered by their parents?
I can't listen. I'm listening to this shoot around, and I keep thinking back to the movie we were just talking about.
Yeah. Which we didn't talk about what that movie is. We didn't talk about what Killing Every Second Year is about. And just watch it. Because I didn't know what it was about at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this movie is... It's not only about the themes of, like, your children, you know, become your life and you lose your identity kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's so fucking blunt and obvious from the very beginning. And then in the middle, this movie carefully explains that to you. Yeah. Did you not get it? Because this is what it's about. Oh, God, I hate this movie, and now I hate that filmmaker. And I love Crank, and I love Crank, too. Yep.
Yeah,
so excited.
Some good stuff in those, for sure.
That's disappointing.
What a bummer. Mom and Dad, no good.
Yep. This movie is like a fucking frat guy. This movie's like the smartest frat guy kicking you repeatedly in the face with his Tevas.
Nice.
Would you say viewers, instead of watching Mom and Dad, should go watch Mom and Dad Save the World?
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Remember that movie? With John Lovitz?
Yeah.
Terry Garr?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I saw that when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Do you think I should just watch
Jeffrey
that
Jones?
Again?
Is he in that?
He sure is. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah, there you go. So, any other movies before Film Roulette, or are we going to get into Film Roulette?
Okay.
Let's do it.
Night, night.
Film Roulette is our weekly segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to see the movie we have picked as a winner movie, or if we didn't pick a winner, the winner's choice film, so you get to watch whatever you have been looking forward to this week, and the low roller has to go see something terrible or watch something at home that we have picked, bad Netflix movies or stuff like that, things out on VOD such as American Satan, which is this week's pick. But the low roller gets to give the winners an album to listen to for the rest of the week. Casey gave us an EP. We'll talk about that after the movies, and we will also roll for next week's films. So, winner's choice. I mentioned earlier that I had chosen a film to talk about, and it sounded like everyone had watched it.
I think so.
So, yeah. David Wayne's A Futile and Stupid Gesture.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yes. Is that what you were going to use for?
That's right.
Nice. There we go. If you don't watch this movie, we'll kill Will Forte. Mm-hmm. This is the story.
Wait, that was what you were using for
Film Roulette.
Film Roulette 2?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at that.
There you go. Yeah. The National Lampoon story. This is, you know, the story of Doug Kenny based on the book of the same name. I think the book was the same name.
I feel like the book. Oh, is it? Because I thought the book was named the same as the documentary, Drunk, Stone, Brilliant,
It might have
Dead.
Been, yeah. So there was a documentary about this world, the world that gave us Bill Murray, Chevy Chase, Gilner Radner, many others.
John Belushi.
Yeah. Ann Beats. Tons of other people.
Michael O'Donohue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from Animal House to, you know, members of the Saturday Night Live cast to, you know, Caddyshack and beyond. Mm-hmm. It was an institution for so long, and then it became, you know, not an institution of any note anymore when it was just slapped on a bunch of shitty movies in the 90s. Right. But for a while, it was, you know, something that changed comedy forever. Yep. And so David Wayne was the director who got to make this for Netflix. Mm-hmm. And we've all been very excited to see it based on the cast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Will Forte.
And the story. Like, for me, based on literally everything about this movie, I've been excited about it. From the cast to the director to the subject matter. This is, for me, this is one of those, you know, that stupid thing where people go, you know, I was meant to be born in the 60s because I really have that, like, 60s vibe about me. You know how when shitheads do that, you think they're interesting? That's me with this. Yeah. With this. Like, it's one of those things where I watch anything or read anything about, you know, what was going on at the National Lampoon or at the beginning of Saturday Night Live. Yeah. And I'm just like, I should have been there. Yeah. Like, I hate that I wasn't there.
Yeah. And so the cast, we can't undersell it. You know, Will Forte and Domhnall Gleeson play, you know, the main characters. Martin Mull plays a kind of real world version of Doug Kenny. But then you also have Thomas Lennon, Joel McHale,
Thomas Lennon playing Michael O'Donohue. And like, I love Michael O'Donohue. He is one of the most, probably one of the most fascinating human beings in my opinion of all.
Totally.
Time. And Tom Lennon was perfect.
Yeah.
He was fucking perfect.
John Daly, Paul Scheer's in there a little bit, Natasha Lyonne, Joe Latruglio shows up. Lots and lots and lots of people playing very famous people that you will recognize throughout the film.
Yeah.
So how do you guys want to get into this? Because it's tough, I feel like, because it's such a... it's such a big movie and such a stuffed movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. I guess from my perspective, I also, maybe not to the degree of Casey, but also have always been super fascinated with the Lampoon, you know, would watch the early Lampoon movies. And then when I was in high school, all the other shitty ones, wanted to see all of them from like Midnight Madness. They had a couple of shitty ones that they made after.
Well, it started to become bullshit.
I
was no longer affiliated, really.
Yeah. I went and I bought the Ann Beats. She did this like book of comedy writing in the 70s that was just all women called Titters. And I went and I bought that because I was like, this has to be amazing, I'm sure. And it's interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like really super excited about this. And I kind of came away with a bit of a mixed bag, but overall enjoyed it, I will say. And we can get into some details as we discuss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I grew up obsessed with Saturday Night Live and sketch comedy and getting my hands on any kind of comedy I could.
Yeah.
Taping every Sunday night comedy show off the radio and then listening to it all week and listening to sketches with these people from this show, I was super fucking stoked to see this, and there's just so many people in it that I dug, and I'm like, hey, who doesn't like seeing Martin Mull do things?
Yeah, it was cool to see the like the records I went and bought. Now I'm watching like the story of them doing that radio show.
I figured what the tone would be because this is the, you know. There's a lot of ways to look at this world and the subject matter. Either the really it can be really fucking gritty and horrible and dark because it ends in a dark place. Or I figured based on the cast and the filmmaker, where it might be, and also like being true to the vision of that person's vision.
Yeah,
you know, what it was probably going to sit at, and so it was the tone and movie I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, I loved it. I had a great time. I laughed out loud a whole shit ton. There was a lot of like, hey, I know what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they got Martin McCaff to say his line, which was the coolest. what do you want to do with your life? Twisted Sister video fella.
Yeah, yeah,
he said
funny.
It, and I was just like, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Anyway. And there was all kinds of neat performances. I was very happy with this. Donald Gleason was fantastic.
He's really good. Yeah.
Again. And I thought Will Forte was just perfect and held the movie down beautifully.
Yeah. Yeah. I for me, it was a perfect experience.
Yeah.
I loved it so much. Like, it's one of those movies where, I'm like, I don't know, I'm going to like overstate it a bit. I was very emotional watching it.
Yeah. Sure.
Like, it was a very emotional experience. I laughed my ass off, but also it, just heartbreaking. I thought the tone was perfect.
Yep.
I thought everything they did, like every casting choice. Joel McHale was
perfect.
Fucking
amazing.
Phenomenal.
What, like, as soon as he started talking, I'm like, holy fuck, that is a dynamite
Chevy Chase. So
because he's not like, he's not
doing an impression.
He's not really doing an impression so much as it really is like an impersonation.
Yeah.
But he's really, the great thing is he's really playing the humanity also of Chevy Chase and how, And playing Chevy Chase's inability to connect as a human being, and playing that really, like, I feel like everybody really played that, the inability to connect as human beings and how that informs the comedy.
Yeah.
Neil Casey as I can't remember the guy's name. I can't remember his name. But he's like the weird guy in the bow tie who just wanders around saying brilliantly funny things and otherwise being completely unrelatable. I love, and then the savagery of when they're all sitting around pitching and everybody's laughing.
Yeah.
And then Tony Hendra comes out with his sort of first introductory thing. Like, everybody's trying to kind of get a feel of each other.
Yeah.
And then they just fucking tear him down. And he, like, kind of goes off in a little tantrum kind of thing. And just how mean and just horrible comedy people can be.
Yeah.
But because it's like a room full of children, like sort of jockeying for like top position, everything about it was just so fascinating and beautiful and then tragic. And I thought the way they dealt with the end with, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that
Doug Kenny
dies.
Yeah.
And the way they dealt with it was just really beautiful.
Yeah.
I liked that. Yeah.
Holy fuck.
I kind of felt like the movie was a better drama. Like, I felt like it handled the drama stuff better. I didn't really think that, like, I didn't laugh a lot watching it. I was watching, like, there was moments where I laughed, but I felt like there was a lot of times where I found myself, like, waiting for those things that I knew were going to come out. Like, I knew they're obviously going to have somebody say, you know, he must have fallen looking for a place to jump or whatever. And I found myself like kind of maybe getting in the way of enjoying the movie by like looking for when they're going to do those things. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was better a collection of performances than like structurally of a movie. And I just found like there was times where they balanced the sort of playing with the conventions of a biopic, like when his first marriage is like dissolving and they do that lampoon-esque, you know, comic strip.
Photo Funnies? Yeah.
Of the photo. And like,
I thought that was great. What I liked about this movie is it did a whole bunch of things that he did.
Yeah.
It changed its storytelling mode based on a bunch of different things that he created.
Yeah.
So having his marriage fall apart in Photo Funnies.
But that
having
was
the
so
build-up
good.
Of how they're doing the Harvard Lampoon and building it into the National Lampoon, kind of vibing a little bit like Animal House, and that's how the dialogue runs too, you know, like, just in case you're interested, they're adulating you upstairs. How do you feel about adulation? Yeah. Oh, you love it.
Yeah.
And that has this kind of like, not necessarily like joke punchline landing, but like, you know, witty fervor to language. So that's bubbling over. Then we get into like bits and skits kind of going on having a joke and joke and popping through a bunch of different scenes. And then things get a little bit chaotic and all over the place. And it's Caddyshack.
Yeah.
And where the characters get
a
little bit
and
more
it's a
wonky.
It's a little more coke fueled and it's a little more
totally.
Like manic. That's the thing. This movie plays like a copy of or an issue of yeah. the National Lampoon. Hmm. Like it's episodic, and because the story must be episodic because it goes from here to here kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a through line. It's just the events in this man's life that made him, made something happen. Yeah. Who knows? But I feel like it hangs together perfectly as a movie in that it's like it shambles along in the way that comedy did in the late 70s and early 80s, and in the way that like it's a movie that sort of finds itself comedically. But I thought the thing that you thought sort of detracted from it was something that I found so endearing and loved so much about it was that it's very funny. It has some very funny lines, but it doesn't feel like a comedy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it does, in where it kind of scrolls all of the historical inaccuracies, and you can pick little things out.
Yeah.
Like one of the things I noticed, it said, everybody was much more racist and much more sexist than we're making them seem.
Yeah, I like that they found ways to like comment on that.
Yeah, and I love like the device of Martin Mull, the sort of
the older version.
Yeah, like what might have been or whatever. Mm. Normally, maybe I wouldn't have liked that so much. Like, what are you talking to the camera or whatever? But here, it really felt like it fit the tone so well of what made the National Lampoon so special and so scary. Everything about it I thought was a win, and I can't wait to watch it again.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I will watch it again for sure.
I just felt like the photo funnies thing was an example of like where I felt it really landed, and it was just such like a good execution, and it felt like an emotional gut punch. And there was a lot of stuff at the end of the movie that I really liked, but I really didn't feel, I kind of felt like there was a lot in this movie that felt too safe, that felt too much like they've taken a guy who was so irreverent and so, you know, different, and kind of, there was times where I felt like this content was being pushed into a biopic kind of box that it was breaking out of sometimes, but then other times wasn't. And I just felt like I didn't dislike it. I had a great time watching it. I just kind of walked away from it a little bit being like, I don't know. I didn't love it. And I wanted to so badly, but it's an amazing collection of performances. And I think particularly the dramatic stuff towards the end of the movie really shows that, like, David Wayne, like, obviously he's had dramatic things in his movies. Like, if you watch Role Models, it's like that whole finale of that movie is just so treating those characters emotionally, honestly, and those LARPers and stuff, and it all comes off so beautifully. But I just felt like in this movie there was moments where the dramatic elements landed so well where I was like, oh, I can't wait to see the next David Wayne movie where he gets to like bring that drama into the movie.
Right.
Yeah, and I really liked this, but there was just something about it that I wasn't 100% on. But yeah, the collection of fucking performances here are really cool. And when it doesn't really work, like I kind of thought John Gemberling was fine. He's not really given a lot to do, but I was like, I almost feel like John Gabrius would have been a better choice, or like, I don't, there were just moments with him where I was like, are you even trying?
No, I had that thought too, but the thing is, if you think about, playing John Belushi, it would be really hard.
So hard.
Like, because a lot of what John Belushi is what John Belushi looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. Ask the commish, he knows.
Yeah.
Wired.
So
there's not a lot to play with there.
Yeah.
And I thought they very smartly just had somebody playing him that, you know, didn't really look like him or just like a big fat party guy.
Yeah.
And they didn't really give him much to say other than food fights.
Yeah. Even when it doesn't really land 100%, you're not sitting there thinking like, well, he's terrible. He doesn't look like him or whatever.
No, I just, I was like, you know what? They have a place filler. And every once in a while, they're like, having Lonnie Ross play Ivan Reitman was scary.
Oh, he's really good.
Because it's really insane good how much you look like him.
And the guy who plays Dangerfield.
Armin fucking Weitzman playing Lorne Michaels.
So
great. Fucking wonderful. Yeah. Like, I love Armin Weitzman anyway, but like seeing him play Lorne Michaels, like he really fucking got like the detached smarminess that I love about Lorne Michaels, but yeah, so I feel like when they couldn't get somebody bang on, they did a good job of like patching up the rough spots.
Yeah. It left me wishing that I almost had a TV show version of it, because like I wanted to see Christopher Guest.
I had the exact same thought.
Like I want to see these people as Christopher Guest. I want to see more about Ann Beats. I want to see more Michael O'Donoghue. It was definitely like, and obviously they fucking say it in the movie. They're like, well, we don't have enough room, so we're going to pick these four guys, you know, these four characters.
Yeah.
But I was definitely at the end of the movie like, oh, I just want more of this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, maybe I'll watch it again and start to see cracks or whatever. I don't know. Or maybe I just idealized that time in comedy too much.
Yeah.
And this is,
or you'll just keep watching it and continue to find it amazing.
Yeah, which is likely.
Yeah.
But man, it really really fucking did something for me emotionally.
And, nice.
Yeah, I'll definitely go back to that. Well,
sweet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think, I think we all recommend it, so watch it if you haven't yet. Even if you don't really know a lot about the world, I think it plays no matter what.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because it's fascinating to find out about it.
Yeah,
I would
sure.
definitely say watch the documentary, Drunk Stone Brewing.
Yeah, that's really good.
It's fucking fascinating. And then watch the movie version of it, because I think you'll get something out of it.
Yeah, and I do think, like you guys were saying, I think this movie does a little bit better of a job than the, like, I really really love the documentary, but I think this movie does a better job of being able to work in the kind of commentary on how people were back then in terms of like the sexism and like the lack of black voices and stuff. Like they don't obviously don't like go into that and huge in this movie, but they're at least able to be like, hey, how come no black, you know, or like
I
what are you, like, sexist? Or?
Yeah, I that's something that I liked about it, was that they sort of like Chris Redd at one point comes up and is like, hey, how come there's no black people?
Yeah.
And they very plainly and simply go, well, black people were very underrepresented at this time, in especially at the National Lampoon, because everyone was quite racist.
Yeah.
Anyway. on with the show.
Yeah.
I feel like they didn't shy away from that so much as they were like, look, we want to show you what was lovely about these people.
And
what was human about these people, not what was shitty about society and by definition or by extension, these, shitty about these people.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. Nice time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch it. It's on Netflix. You got no reason not to.
No, watch it.
Unless you're too busy watching American Satan.
Yeah.
like I usually am.
Yeah. So we stumbled upon, I guess, like the poster for this a while back.
Mm-hmm.
And then subsequently the trailer. And I'm going to load it up here. But it really looked terrible, and we knew that at some point we were going to have to feature this on the podcast. Directed by Ash Avildsen, which I believe is related somehow to John G. Avildsen.
Ooh. He's the son
of. So this is about a young rock band, half from England, half from the U.S., who drop out of college and move to the Sunset Strip to chase their dreams.
Ugh.
This stars Malcolm McDowell, Denise Richards, Drake Bell, Larry King, Patrick Muldoon, Bill Goldberg, all these people.
They're all there.
Yeah.
And can't wait to hear. The trailers really made this thing look not good.
I didn't watch a trailer.
No.
I just read somewhere that there's some original music, and I was like, okay.
And it's perfect that Casey is the one watching this, like, band-related, music-related,
You love it when actors portray musicians.
Oh, well, what I like about it is the authenticity.
Yeah, it's good. You love this kind of
look. And this kind of music.
Is it, like, major label butt metal rock?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'll get into it.
Yeah.
I want to start out by asking you guys, what did you think this was going to be? Because I'm very sure I knew what I thought it was going to be.
I don't know, some kind of like devil makes them rock band.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like it was
something like that.
I got
that's literally all I've got.
I felt like from the trailer,
I saw the poster.
They
that's
had
it.
Like a rise and fall kind of arc, and like we're in a band, and we're gonna have to like do a deal with Malcolm McDowell, and it's a devil, and we're gonna have like modern rock songs, and it's gonna maybe be like funny, but like not just a comedy. It's also gonna be kind of like a dark thing.
So you guys kind of thought. Like, you guys didn't think, like, horror kind of,
No, from the trailer, I knew it wasn't going to be like a straight up horror movie.
Yeah, okay.
No, I knew it was going to have this kind of like anarchy all over the place. Like, it's funny, it's fucked up. Oh, there'll be, you know, we're with the world of the band, you know, strippers, Las Vegas or whatever, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I thought was it was just going to be like, you know, this metal band and they want to become famous, so they make a deal with the devil. And
yeah.
Everybody starts fucking dying in crazy ways. And then they have to feast and gorge on the blood of
that. That probably would have been cool.
Fans or whatever shit. And that's what I thought. I thought it was just going to be that dumb movie. Now, I don't want to be mean to this movie.
Yes, you do.
That's the thing is, I want to be mad at like a movie like Mom and Dad. That's just fucking fuck off with that movie. That's how I felt. This movie, you know, this movie was somebody really trying to do something.
Yeah,
he was trying to make a point. And you know, God bless him. It's not a good movie.
Yeah,
and it's not fun to well. It wasn't horrible to watch. It's very amateurish.
Yeah.
It's very like, ooh, this point and then this point. And all of the acting is really low-key. Like, it's not awful. Some of it's awful, but the dialogue is just so pedestrian and so, like, you know what it feels like? It feels like it's written by a really, by a film student. It feels like the whole thing was made by a film student who really knows the technical aspects of making a movie, didn't have a lot of money to do it, but also doesn't know a lot of actors.
Yeah.
Denise Richards is in this movie, and she's doing her best at acting, which is just being very, like, doing this. Hi, I'm the mother in this movie. I'm very serious. I'm a serious actress, you know. But it's just a movie that tries to explore the themes of you know, excess and rock and roll and is rock and roll the devil's music and does playing rock and roll come with a price kind of thing, with the price of your soul or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's and you know, this guy's name is Gabriel and Bill Duke, by the way, weirdly enough. And he's just straight up Gabriel, you know. Mr. Capricorn is the devil.
It's okay,
like, you know, everything is just really on the nose kind of thing. But it's not trying to be necessarily. the band, I mean, they play, you know, I don't know what you even call it. It's like that emo metal kind of
slick, like, yeah, I know what you mean.
And this is so, it's the music is so inauthentic, or maybe not, because I can't judge
authentic
this type
to
of
a thing that is in itself a copy of
inauthentic.
It.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, I was like, I think they're nailing it because I hate this as much as I hate, you know, A Fire Inside or whatever. And I think that's what this is. I lump all that stuff together. I'm not the best at judging that kind of thing, but you know, by the end of the movie, I was like, well, you know what, you really went for something, I think you explained yourself in the way that you wanted to explain yourself. And I feel like somebody will get something out of this. Like, there will be a group of people who will be like, no, you should see that movie because it really explores some stuff. And I'm like, well, cool. I mean, I'm glad this movie exists for those people. It does not exist for me. This movie does not exist for my sensibilities. But yeah, by the end of it, I was just like,
you go for it.
Go for it, you silly little movie.
Well, good.
You old American Satan. But it really does, like, the, hey, we're a band in, you know, we want to go to L.A., so they all go to L.A., and it's like, well, gosh, now we got to get jobs as waiters and stuff. And
yeah,
so they do that for 5 minutes or like for 2 minutes, and then it's like, then they sign the deal with the devil, and then it's like, now we got to make a record. Well, we finished making that record. What should we call it? Why don't we call it American Satan? Now let's do drugs. Now let's have sex. Now there's underage sex. Now like there's it's just all the sort of excess, you know,
that would come with that.
That comes with the rock and roll lifestyle.
So does it become about, like, now that we have been, you know, become this big of a thing, and now it's like poisoning our, you know, now we're going to go do the underage sex and stuff? Does it become like about, we got to quit this, or like redemption, or what? Well, like, how does it become like a climax of the film? Or does it become like, we got to murder the devil, or what?
With our rock and roll.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, it does, Dan. And that's, but at the same time, it also does this thing where it's like, but is that all happening?
Yeah.
You know, did they, is he really the devil? Or is, but at the same time, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. They were trying something again. Mm. I don't know. I don't want to be a dick about this.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Nice when you get to watch these movies. Well, not nice to watch them, but when you're just like, whatever, it exists.
Yeah.
Someone will like it.
Yeah. And the guy that plays there, the head of the label, you'd recognize him because he's the guy that, if you didn't know that Maury Chaykin was dead, you'd be like, hey, that's Maury Chaykin.
Oh. Yeah. I feel like I know who you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I think I know the name.
Blue.
Yeah. Well, yeah. American Satan.
All right.
I can't.
I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, don't watch it, but I mean, somebody might like it. Yeah.
Certainly don't watch it, but just know that it exists to watch.
Yeah.
For Mark Boone Jr.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
MBJ.
American Old Satan. MBJ. Speaking of watching things,
yeah,
I watched myself click on the album that we listened to this week. Casey, you gave us an album last episode, and you had regretted not giving us the album you wanted to that week. So you doubled down when you lost twice, and you said, you know what? I'm going to give you the one I meant to give you last week.
I doubled on down.
And what was it specifically that you gave us this week?
It's somebody called Jesse Reyes.
Yes.
And
Canadian.
Canadian artist who there's lots of swears in her song titles.
Yeah.
And she has a song called Figures that's on the radio at work eight times a day.
Mm-hmm. and it's interesting.
It's one of those things that just gets right up and down my spine.
Yeah. And it's funny because when you told us about hearing that on the radio and wanting to give us this, it was kind of almost presented as like, I think it's sort of singer-songwritery because that song's kind of a ballad and there's an acoustic guitar in it.
Right.
And so I came into this album not really knowing what to expect. And I really didn't expect what it is, which is it's basically kind of like a mainstream sounding kind of hip hop
sort of
record. It has a sound that's going on right now that I feel like is a
it's
lot
like a
different.
Folky record with hip hop attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it was different.
And some F-bombs.
Yeah,
like when
some
I heard
swearing.
The Figures song, I was like, oh, okay, now I understand like where the reference was coming from after hearing a couple songs where I was like, well, this is nothing like I expected.
Yeah. No, I didn't really know what to expect.
Yeah.
And like, what's frustrating about listening to this is she has a good instrument in her. She can sing. There's a talent there. And I like what she's going after lyrically here and there. Some of it's fairly just whatever people have done.
Yeah.
Figures is like, there's many songs like that.
Yeah.
But the need for the affectation is so distracting.
That's what.
And so fucking irritating. That's fucking Figures song. Because it's like, I don't know. Then I was like, maybe she has an she sings like this because she talks like this.
Yeah.
And so I tried to find interviews with her on YouTube. And yeah, she just talks. She's got a voice. Yeah. But then when she sings, she's like, Figures.
I got the line of
boys. It just does this little fucking thing. And it's all over the songs. And it's so fucking fake and irritating.
It's embarrassing.
She sounds like my daughter saying fingers.
Yeah, which is adorable.
It's adorable.
But I
think it's hot.
I also think
my beard hurts.
I also think it's indicative almost even less of her and more of pop in general because there's some Selena Gomez song that's called Good For You. where the chorus is like Goya Foya Goya Foya.
Yeah, I know
and,
you're talking
and
about.
It's like
that's dumb as shit
and
too.
And
that is for, that type of thing is dumb, but it's almost like a stylistic choice because Selena Gomez can actually sing.
Yes.
She's got an interesting voice and a strong voice.
Yeah.
She doesn't always sing with affectation, so doing that in a chorus. That's its own choice.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I desperately need to be interesting somehow.
Yeah.
So I'm going to compile a bunch of affectations and a bunch of vocal tricks that I've heard from other people, and I'm just going to grind them into really pedestrian bullshit.
And it
songs.
Just and so anytime there is something interesting going on with her lyrically or not really arrangement wise, it's fairly. Whatever.
Yeah.
But it's so, I'm just distracted by the dumb little voice she's doing.
Ugh, I hate it.
Like, why are you doing a dumb voice?
Yeah.
See,
fucking cut it out.
Just sing the fucking song.
Yeah. See, I didn't have that. I just found this album to be, like I didn't hate it.
She's Dan at Figos.
Yeah.
Oh, Figos.
And I think this might come from my, like, I find when we talk about music, like, sometimes like because I grew up listening to like certain types of music where I'm able to like this is like the fucking dumbest lyrics ever but I'm into this song so I'm just gonna be able to like black out something from the song that like when I listened to this EP multiple times I was never really focusing on her voice I was like it doesn't sound like amazing and there's kind of a weird thing going on but this just sounds like any other thing on the radio and some of that stuff I don't hate and this just sounds like some of that stuff that's fine and I just kind of like had it on and it was wallpaper and then I never and then now I'll never listen to it again I didn't hate and I never really found that stuff like grating on me but I was also ignoring it like so I was just like this is you know a Canadian putting out some music that like seems to be what's going on and hitting the radio and
seems to be like stuff that's going on. That's
and I felt like that figure song
that could be the new album title
was the most boring one on the record. Like I just felt like that was the most egregious of any of the songs on here because the other ones were just like she's kind of rapping, kind of singing.
Yeah.
Ignore it. It's okay. It was like when we listened to that Migos album Culture or whatever with they had that big hit and we. I can't remember who gave it to who, if it was Greg or Casey. It might have been Greg. It was like the big rap album of last year. And it was like, hey, what is this? Let's listen to it. And then we listened to it and it was like,
you're thinking of Ray Schremmerd.
Oh, yeah, Ray Schremmerd. Yeah. When it was just like, what is this? And it's like, oh, it's just what is the thing right now.
Yep.
And I don't hate it, but I'm not going to listen to it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was me with this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I totally understand that reaction of like, fuck this voice or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was just, I was able to be like, I don't care. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was very happy to delete this from my Spotify.
Yeah.
So, Casey.
We've got to delete a bookcase. I fucking hate that. Goodness.
What's next?
Listen, guys.
You're on a streak.
I want you guys to know how lucky you are.
Okay.
Because generally I've been trying to get new music.
Yeah.
Like I've been trying to kind of give you new
stuff. What's going on the radio.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I've been doing my research on like new releases and stuff like that. And I'll tell you who has a new release. Fall Out Boy.
But
I'm not giving it to you.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm actually going to be very nice to you. Because that came up and I was like, all right, well, maybe it would be interesting to sit here and rip on Fall Out Boy the way we rip on all other.
And we did that with one
bands.
Of their albums, I feel like, two years ago.
We could probably
American
do that
Psycho.
With all of their albums.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But then I saw there's a 2018 release by Philip H. Anselmo.
Oh, fuck.
So Phil Anselmo and The Illegals.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a new band.
Right.
Called The Illegals. And an album called Choosing Mental Illness as a Virtue.
Interesting. Phil Anselmo is the lead singer of Pantera.
Lead singer.
Or
the lead singer of Pantera.
Yeah, yeah. Who also has a very destructive personal life.
He's a scary fellow.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll beat you up in a bathroom.
That's right.
So I thought, holy shit, let's fucking find out what Phil Anselmo's doing nowadays.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe he's chilled the fuck out.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
That'll be interesting.
So yeah, let's check out what Phil Anselmo's doing and talk about it next week.
Sounds interesting. Yeah. Yep. Sounds like it'll be a discussion.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right.
Interesting. That's nice.
Well.
But just know that when I lose this time.
Yeah.
you're getting Fallout Boy next
yeah.
time.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of rolling now and speaking of next week, this is what we're doing. We got to roll for next week. And that's what we're going to do.
So that's what we're going to do.
Another week where the only thing opening is a middling-looking horror movie from the directors of Jigsaw.
Yeah.
So we're not going to pick that as the winner. We're going to do another winner's choice week. And we're going to go back to the old well of weird-looking, dumb movies that we find on Netflix or on streaming apps and so on and so forth, things that are landing on VOD. And a movie landed that Greg caught the poster and the synopsis of.
Yeah.
Called Toxic Shark.
Yep.
About a shark who they find out is also toxic.
That's right. They realize it's a poisonous shark.
Yeah.
That's yeah. a good thing to realize.
Yeah.
I feel like Poison Shark would be a pretty good title for
yeah.
this movie.
Yeah. And I also feel like we're so past the shark explosion, the post Sharknado, that now another movie like this where it's like Shark Tarantula or all these movies, like they trickle out here and there, but I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, is there still a market now?
Or a shark it?
A shark.
Ah.
So we got to check in with that. What's going on here in this late entry into the revival of the shark genre?
Yeah. Nothing good.
No.
It's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
It spits acid at people.
Does it spit acid or is it just poisoning the water?
I got the... hold on.
I watched the trailer and they were like... Here. Oh, I went in the water, and now I'm covered in burns. Why? Okay.
Toxic shark. A tropical singles retreat takes a terrifying turn when guests realize a poisonous shark is infesting the surrounding water.
Oh, God.
Not only will it rip apart its victims, but it also uses projectile acid to hunt in and out of the water.
So it gets out of the water.
Yeah.
Or is it just spit from the water like,
okay, get back here.
Hey.
like a petulant older brother. Yeah.
It holds you down.
And
gets
loogies
over your face
you with a toxic loogie.
Stop poisoning yourself.
I would watch that.
Lordy almighty.
Also, all right. Shark.
Okay.
Let's do it.
I'm going to roll first.
The rolling.
That's a four.
I'm going to roll now. That's a two. Uh-oh.
Now Casey's going to roll.
That's a five. I got to watch Toxic Shark.
Toxic Shark.
Oh, boy.
You
Toxic Shark.
Oh, boy. You reversed jinxed it. Because when I say that I'm going to lose later, I do. But then when everyone else says that, I lose.
Oh, is that how that works?
I guess that's how it
I'll
works.
Try and keep that up.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Great.
Wonderful. Toxic Shark Very next good. Week. We will listen to the album that you gave us, and we will talk about Winner's Choice films.
Certainly.
Don't forget Patreon. Go on there. We got Time Bandits coming up. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter, SYNWPC. Email us your thoughts and feedback. At info@modernsuperior.com. That's our episode number 301.
Yep.
There you go. Enjoyed it, I hope. And as always, we will see you next Wednesday. Goodbye, Internet. What can we say here? What?
Oh, yeah, don't we usually say other things?
I've got to load a book.
Oh, figures.
Oh, figures.
This episode has been brought to you by the Modern Superior Podcast Network.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.